Gracious God, we thank you again for who you are, and we ask that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would remind us, that you would call us back to you. Lord God, open up our ears even now that we might hear your words. Open up our minds that we might understand. Open up our lives that we might be changed. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. In the book, To Bless the Space Between Us, O'Donohue writes, "When I was a young priest, I had occasion to visit a contemplative community of sisters. An old sister opened the door. Knowing that I was a new priest, she asked for my first blessing. I stood over this contemplative and drew on every resource I knew to invoke the most intimate blessing. As I was completing the blessing, it struck me how ironical this situation was. Here was a contemplative who had spent over 60 years of her life navigating the searing silence and darkness of God. Yet she was asking a 25-year-old for his blessing. When she stood up, I decided to kneel down and ask her for her blessing. She seemed utterly taken aback. She mumbled something and practically ran out of the room. She must never have had such a request for her blessing before. This was a woman who practiced a totally contemplative life, and yet the system made her feel that she could not bless. And conversely, it made me think I could. This experience led me to question who had the authority and power to bless. The question is not to be answered simply by the description of one's institutional status or membership, but perhaps there are deeper questions hidden here. What do you bless with? Or where do you bless from? When you bless another, you first gather yourself. You reach below your surface, mind, and personality, down to the deeper source within you, namely the soul. Blessing is from soul to soul. Maybe this gets to the heart of where we've been, what we've been talking about this past really year at this point. Because there's something about blessing that comes from deep within, as well as from deep above. There's something about blessing that connects us soul to soul. There's something about blessing that calls forth a different reality, a better future, almost like a prayer. There's something about blessing that invokes and invites God's action and grace. And even though we've been talking about it all year long, there's still something ancient and foreign and arcane about this idea of blessing, especially in our modern world. It still seems like it doesn't fit today. You can't go into a grocery store or your work and bless someone. That would be really, really strange. And yet, I also wonder if it's needed, if it's missing from our lives, which is why we've spent so long talking about blessings. What's more, we've found this idea of blessing all throughout the scriptures. It was there in the very beginning as God created, but not just created, God also blessed. Because all blessings start with God. We saw it again earlier this year in the covenant, the promise that God made to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Because again, blessings flow from God through us to others. as if God were trying to bless the world and wanted to use us in the process, not to mention change us in the process. We saw blessings in the scriptures in the life of Joseph, who for every one step forward seemed to fall back two or three or four. And yet time and time again, he found his life to be blessed, even though things rarely, if ever, really never went his way, he found his life to be a blessing. And he then in turn blessed, quite literally, the world. And of course, Jesus spoke blessings over the people. Paul prayed blessings over the church. The apostles asked for blessings for the others as well. What's more, as we've been talking all year, we've seen a connection between blessing and following. We talked about how even the word blessing in the Hebrew is related to the Hebrew word for kneel. Somehow, blessing and kneeling go together, blessings and bowing, because God's overflow should elicit our obedience. Today, we come to the end of this final series on blessing, and we kind of wrap up the whole thing. In this last series, we've been talking about how we are to bless, but really more than how is the who. Who are we to be blessing? Remember, as Christians, we are blessed in order to be a blessing to the world, but then who constitutes the world? Who is supposed to be the object of our blessings? And what happens if we don't do our job? In fact, maybe that is the better question. Have we been doing our job? Does the world feel blessed by us, by me, by you? And so we've worked on this kind of ever-expanding concentric rings through which our blessings should flow. We started generally by talking about blessing those who are near, those who are easy to bless. Then we talked about those groups that are a little farther away, those who are sometimes harder for us to bless, those groups that sometimes we disagree with, disassociate from, remain distant to, we're to bless them as well. Then we talked about those who curse us, and how maybe we can bless even those who curse us. Last week, we got to the really hard stuff. How do you bless those who have hurt us, or who are hurting us, or who hate us? How can you bless even them? That was last week. Today, we zoom all the way back out and try and sum up everywhere we've been and try to put a bow on all of these blessings. And so today, I want us to focus on three things, really. God blesses us. Then we are blessed in order to bless the world. And then finally, God becomes our blessing. You could almost kind of view this as three different postures we're supposed to take in blessing. We receive blessings, we give blessings, and we're transformed by those blessings. God blesses us, we bless others, and then God changes us through those blessings. Of course, that also implies we actually have to do something with these blessings. You actually have to recognize, receive those blessings from God. You actually have to give and be generous with those blessings to others. And finally, you have to allow yourself to be transformed by that process of blessings. It's also worth noting that these postures change our perspective. They point us toward God, they point us out toward others, and then they point us right back to God again. So the plan for today as we look at these things is I want us to take a brief journey through three different psalms as we explore this a little bit further. In a moment, we're going to start with Psalm 112, which is going to remind us that God is the source of all of our blessings. Then we're going to talk about Psalm 67, which will remind us that those blessings should flow to the world. And then finally, Psalm 84, which will remind us that our real blessing is the blessor. So with that as our guide and our plan, let us turn in our Bibles to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Amen. With the exception of that last little part, the overall psalm is such a picture of blessing, isn't it? Kids are blessed. The upright are blessed. Those who fear the Lord are blessed. And how? What is that picture of blessing? Wealth and riches and righteousness and compassion and on and on. Light in the dark, good to those who are generous, stability and legacy and steadfastness and security. And all of it comes from God, which is why all praise is due to God and why we should become more and more grateful and faithful to God, because it's all from God. It's not a bad reminder as we look to celebrate Thanksgiving in the next few days. We take some time to take stock of our blessings, is how we say it. We recognize and remember all the ways in which we have been blessed. But then most importantly, we see how those blessings point us back to God in gratitude, because he is the source of all of those blessings. Thanksgiving always should point us back toward not the gifts, but the giver. We are thankful for what we've been given, but much more than that, we're thankful to the one who has given, to the one who has done the giving. Of course, the psalmist also makes another point. Because all of our blessings flow from God, this should then in turn help us to be more faithful, to be more just, to be more righteous. Not so that we'll get more blessings, but much more to the point, because we have been blessed. It's a way that we then can bless others, that we can show those blessings to others by being more faithful, more just, more righteous. God's blessings should elicit our faithfulness. And it's in recognizing God's lavish grace that we become transformed, that we become free to bless others. Which brings us to our second psalm, Psalm 67. So we'll keep reading. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Amen. Second psalm. Interestingly, if unsurprisingly, this psalm reiterates the point that our blessings point us past ourselves, towards others, towards the nation, towards the world. not just to those who are near, but also to those who are far. The psalm tells us that our blessings are for the salvation of all nations, so that all the peoples will praise God, so that the nations will be glad, so that all peoples will be ruled over by God, so that the people will praise, so that the land will yield a harvest, so that our blessings will extend to the ends of the earth. Which again is what we've been talking about all throughout the last couple of weeks. We haven't only been blessed for us. We've been blessed so that we can bless others. That's the reason, the purpose for those blessings in our lives. And since we are learning to see those blessings as gifts from God for the world, that then starts to change how we see the world. If I don't deserve all of the blessings that I've received, then maybe that can help me see others differently. Because clearly I can think of some people that don't deserve those blessings, but wait a second, neither do I. And yet God has blessed me. How might I bless even them? How do I not just receive these blessings, but bless others? And through that, can I start to see others differently? Can God change the way I view others? As we think about blessing others, there's another piece of this that I think is helpful. And we talked about this a long time ago, but I still find this to be a helpful as we think about how to bless others. One of the things we look to is the ways we've been blessed. I know that kind of goes without saying, but too often I think we fear blessing others because the picture we have of blessing others is materially. And then we start to ask ourselves, but wait a second, now I won't have enough. And then I will go without. And then where does that leave us? And yet the idea here is that God wants us to bless others with what he's blessed us with. In other words, the reality is God doesn't want us to bless out of our scarcity. God wants us to bless out of his abundance. And that said, we may be more blessed than we often recognize. In many ways, our blessings may be a clue to how God wants us to bless others. If you can find places in your life where you are particularly blessed, maybe that's exactly where God wants you to be active in blessing someone else. You've been blessed at work. You've been blessed at home. You've been blessed with community. You've been blessed with abilities. And so much more. As you see those might be exactly where God wants you to then be blessing. And again, notice that all of this continues to reorient us past the blessings toward others. It's this constant theme in these blessings is the blessings aren't actually always the point. The point is beyond that. But therefore, we need to be on the lookout for who we could bless. We need to listen better to God for who God wants us to bless, not to mention how we might bless them. This becomes the new posture that we live in. Looking for and seeking the people around us who we might be able to bless. The people not around us who we're still called to bless. Because at the end of the day, this is all just another form of God's lavish grace. God has been gracious to us, even though we don't deserve it. And because of that, we need to be gracious to others, even though sometimes they don't deserve it. That's our calling as individuals and as a church. That's what it looks like to be a church, is that we become a foretaste of the blessings of God. We become a foretaste of God's graciousness to the world. We become a foretaste of the kingdom of God in the here and now. We've been blessed in order to bless. Which brings us to our final psalm of the day, Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valleys of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. This final psalm for the day points out that our ultimate blessing isn't in what we have, and it's not in what we give, but it's really found in who has blessed us. Blessed are those who dwell in the house of God. Blessed are those whose strength is in God. Blessed is the one who trusts in God. The initial point that these verses make is that we are blessed as we recognize that we're a part of God's household, as we recognize that we're reliant on God's strength and God is strong, as we recognize that our trust is in God and that God is trustworthy. But maybe the more helpful point that these verses make is that our blessedness isn't a function of the blessings we've received. But instead, our blessedness is a function of our nearness to God. Remember, the good news is that God has come near. Our real blessing is God. Again, this becomes clearer in our practice and experience of thanksgiving and giving. Initially, when we are young, we are thankful for our blessings, thankful for the gifts. Later, we become a little bit more thankful for how we can bless others, thankful that we can give. But as we get older, we start to do a better job of recognizing that the true gift is the giver. It's not that God has given us good gifts or will give us good gifts that make us blessed. It's that God is the real gift. We are blessed because he has drawn near. We are blessed because God is here. We are blessed because we can know God and that we are loved by God. Our being, past, present, and future, are found in him, and we are blessed. This is the strange piece about blessings. We focus so much on how we've been blessed and how we might bless others and who those people are that we can actually lose sight sometimes of the one who has done the blessing. All of this draws us back to him. All of the stuff and all of the blessing others, it all draws us back to him. And in him we are blessed. Not because of the stuff, not because of how we can bless others, but because of who he is. And again, it's because of and through this deep blessedness that then we are called to bless the world again. to bless our family and friends, to bless our neighbors and those around us, to bless those who are farther away, those who are different, those who are difficult, those who we disagree with, to bless even those that we find are against us. We bless them all because we've been blessed. We love because we've been loved. We extend grace because we've experienced grace. We bless because we've been blessed. And in that, we and the world are changed. I'll close today where we began, with O'Donohue's description of the effect of blessing. A blessing is a circle of light drawn around a person to protect, heal, and strengthen. Life is a constant flow of emergence. The beauty of blessing is its belief that it can affect what unfolds. To be in the world is to be distant from the homeland of wholeness. We are confined by limitation and difficulty. When we bless, we are enabled somehow to go beyond our present frontiers and reach into the source. A blessing awakens future wholeness. We use the word foreshadow for the imperfect representation of something that is yet to come. We could say that a blessing forebrightens the way. And he goes on, we have no idea the effect we actually have on one another. This is where blessing can achieve so much. Blessing as powerful and positive intention can transform situations and people. The force of blessing must be even more powerful when we consider how the intention of blessing corresponds with the deepest desire of reality for creativity, healing, and wholeness. Blessing has pure agency because it animates on the deepest threshold between being and becoming. It mines the territories of memories to awaken and draw forth possibilities we cannot even begin to imagine. Let's pray. Lord God, you call us blessed, and you call us to bless. We pray that you would help us have this kind of a posture, that we might be a people who bless others actively and secretly and intentionally and intimately, that we might connect to others soul to soul because we have been blessed, because we are being blessed. Help us to become the people who bless others. Help us recognize those places in our lives where you have uniquely blessed us, and then help us find ways that we can use those specific blessings for the good of others, whether they be near or far, whether they be loving or hateful, whether we know them or not. Lord, change our hearts as your blessings flow through us. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.